This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Eden Pure. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here too. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioSpeed CleanVac to sell out again. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIECLEAN to save an additional $15. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code HOWIECLEAN.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to be here. We have a lot of news to get to. Not earth-shattering, but good. A lot of funny news. Grammys ratings are out. I'll save that. I don't want to give away anything. You could probably imagine that they're not good. And we also have updates on Black Lives Matter. They had a story today that broke. And, you know, we've been kind of getting info about this. They were having some tax issues, you know. All the documents weren't in on time. Some things were missing. Some key hints that maybe something was amiss at Black Lives Matter. And it turns out that according to the New York Post, a big story broke today that Black Lives Matter used donations to buy $6 million Southern California home. We had heard and we had reported here at the Grace Curley Show on the story about Patrice Cullors buying a mansion in Topanga County.
Small time in it.
Yeah. And I remember that specifically, Jerry, because you're a California dude. You spent some time there, and you were telling us about Topanga.
Yeah, Topanga Canyon. It's a nice area of California. It's in the hills, and it is very not commoner-y,
yes,
shall we say.
Nancy Pelosi-esque. She wouldn't put her nose up at it, in other words. And that was kind of the first hint, you know, when someone's buying all of this property and there's not a lot of information about where the money, and there was millions of dollars going to Black Lives Matter, where this money was going to. And then the story comes out today, they bought a $6 million mansion. Now, what I find more interesting with this, it's not really the crime, it's the cover-up, like how they're going to spin it. Because no one's coming out and saying, yeah, we are a big-time grift. And we have a lot of grifts in the news. If I had to, I always try to think of, like, if I had to choose a theme for the next 3 hours, what it would be, it's grift. We're talking about the renewable energy grift with Ned Ryan from American Greatness at 105. And this show is going to have a big focus on COVID and that grift that keeps on giving as far as, you know, the contact tracing. It's a whole new cottage industry. We will get into that. But as far as this Black Lives Matter grift, the part I find interesting is that they're not taking the worst out here. I actually think it's a smarter way to play this. They're claiming that, and let me read here from the Daily Mail so I get it. I'm sorry, from the New York Post so I get it right. The purchase of the nearly $6 million home had not been previously reported, and Black Lives Matter officials tried to keep its existence a secret from a journalist looking into the transaction. The organization tried to kill the story about the home, which is referred to internally as the complex, while one strategy memo reportedly suggested it might be used as an influencer house where artists can congregate. The residence was purchased with the intention for it to serve as housing and studio space for recipients of the Black Joy Creators Fellowship, otherwise known as BLMGNF. Everybody knows that, of course.
The Blumgenif.
The foundation had always planned to disclose the home's legal filings this May. It was always part of the plan. Yeah. Anytime something goes wrong with Democrats, they say this was always the plan. Remember Afghanistan? This was planned. This is what we all...
It was to be expected.
This is what we all expected. This is what we all thought was going to happen. But the statement did not spell out why little content had been produced there over some 17 months. So when I was looking at this story, and it's all over the place, but one of them, one of the stories in the Daily Mail, I was looking at it, and they had all the screenshots from a video that these three Black Lives Matter co-founders had recorded at this $6 million mansion, you know, where they're creating all this content. That's why they needed it. And they really only had screenshots from one video, and it was from the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. And they're outside. It looks like they're, it basically looks like they're at the French Laundry. I mean, they're outside this beautiful spa. They all have, you know, cheese and crackers or whatever they're eating at the table. It just was lovely. And I said, yeah, the screenshots are good, but I would like to see the video. I would like to see the content that we created at this $6 million mansion. You know, we had to buy this $6 million mansion to record a video about the one-year anniversary of George Floyd because it all ties in, apparently. And I went to look at the video, Jared, and it was there. It was like 17, 18 minutes. And I didn't really like watch it, but I did look at the views. You know how many views it had as of today before I logged on? 187 views. So Now I am not.
Seems like they did a good job keeping it secret.
I'm not a big business girly. You know, I don't know a lot about business. But if you told me that the Grace Curley Show had to buy a $6 million mansion to create content, and said content that we created garnered 187 views, I might rethink that investment. I might say, Jared, you steered us in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I'm actually watching some of the video now. They have a fireplace. There are French doors.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's beautiful. I
although,
mean,
although you know, they have champagne bottles. They're obviously mimosas. It looks like maybe some iced tea. They have a charcuterie board.
A little inappropriate though for like the 1 year of George Floyd.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we're gonna have a brunch. It looks like a baby shower or something. We're gonna have a brunch to commemorate this 1 year. It didn't seem very solemn, you know? It just seemed kind of...
Yeah, showy.
There's
a line from an old song that I love, and I'm getting the definite silver spoon and a paper plate vibes from this group.
Okay.
Silver spoon and a paper plate.
Well, they invested the $6 million. This story is going to continue to unfold. We're going to keep talking about it here. I'll get into this a little bit more. But another thing we're going to talk about today is Elon Musk. As we reported yesterday, he bought a huge stake in Twitter, 9.2%, which is, when you look at Twitter, that's a pretty massive share. And he's today floating out all these ideas. And he's floating an edit button on Twitter. You know, if you make a mistake, you could go back and edit it, which they have on Instagram. Like, if you make a mistake on your Instagram caption, you can go back and edit it. But they've never had that on Twitter. And he throws that out there to people. Like, should we have an edit button? You know, because now he's going to have more of a say in what happens there. And most of the replies he got back were like, dude, we don't care about the edit button. Bring back Trump. We want Trump back on Twitter. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it right away. But Elon Musk, for anyone who's been following him as far as his social media presence, he's a big fan of free speech. He's been on the Babylon Bee's podcast, and the Babylon Bee has been suspended. They've been locked out of their account ever since they gave Rachel Levine their Man of the Year award over at the Bee. So he is very much on the more don't censor people who disagree with you side of things.
I think it's a pretty safe bet. Donald Trump will be back on Twitter before I get into Truth Social. That's
You're still
all
online?
I'm saying.
Yeah, I gave up on that. I
haven't checked in a week, but I was like number 743,000 or something.
I'm one of those people who is constantly deleting apps to save space. So I'll delete an app and then re-download an app later. You know, so I'll delete Uber and then I'll need it and I'll re-download it. It's kind of a mess. I should just buy more storage. But yeah, Truth had to go because I was like, I haven't had an account here. I'm not getting one.
I've needed to do the update 3 times and I'm still not on the app.
You're committed. They'll recognize that. So we have Elon Musk. We have Trump. We have Twitter. We're going to talk about all of that today. And I think it's very good news for Twitter. I think it's very good news for people because the fact is Twitter's not going away. It's just not. People have tried to come up with other platforms. Nothing is sticking. And I think that, and I mentioned this yesterday, that if people who had power, if people who have big money, if people who have influence actually defend people who don't, then maybe we could get something done. And so I'm very positive about that. I'm happy for Elon Musk on that front. And of course, another huge story that we need to talk about today is Hunter Biden. Because now the question is becoming, as I saw this in the National Review today, the question is becoming, what did Joe Biden know and when did he know it? And this is a complicated question. It's kind of the question you always ask when you have like a massive Ponzi scheme slash crime or whatever you want to call it, you know, shady, corrupt business dealings, pay for play. You always ask, like, what did the person know and when did they know it? But the tricky thing about Joe now is that we really don't know what he knows.
Neither does he.
He doesn't know. We don't know. We don't know what he knows now, what he knew then. It kind of gets complicated because back then he would always play the plausible deniability. That's like a big theme in the Biden family. That, you know, it's give them your word as a Biden and also plausible deniability. Those are the two things you learn at the dinner table as a Biden. And so he always went with plausible deniability. But now it's like he definitely has plausible deniability because he doesn't remember anyone's name. So how can we expect him to remember these shady business dealings that Hunter was involved in? The problem for Joe is I think they have some emails. I'm getting the vibe that they have some receipts, including, which is perfect timing for us, not to be selfish, but we talked a lot about Ron Klain yesterday. Ron Klain is Biden's White House chief of staff. And he's also the commander-in-chief of Twitter. He's always on Twitter. And he's always retweeting articles from like Jennifer Rubin. You know, if it wasn't for Joe Biden's terrible inflation, he would be awesome. You know, important articles like that. Totally, totally right down the middle, honest articles. Ron Klain actually has an email back and forth with Hunter about some money. Here's the headline from Fox. Ron Klain solicited money from Hunter Biden for VP residence in 2012. And he said in the email, keep this low, low key. We're going to read those. I think the walls might be not only closing in on Joe, I think they might be closing in on a couple of people here. And the noose is tightening, as they used to say about Trump. Oh, and you know what I should mention about the Elon Musk thing? Just to go back to that for 1 second. People like Brian Stelter and other people are all upset. Oh, Elon Musk, he put out a Trudeau-Hitler meme. Now he's going to have a stake in Twitter. This is terrible. We're going to get into that, too.
There's no time for potato heads.
The crazy reaction from these left-wing hacks who are trying to pretend that they're clutching their pearls about Elon Musk having a say over at Twitter. But yeah, we're definitely also going to get into the Hunter, get into the Joe. There's plenty there to talk about. Really good piece by Rich Lowry in the National Review. And I just want to discuss how this is going to play out. Because Ron Klain, as of yesterday, we have a bunch of flashbacks from Joe. Here's the crux of the situation. They spent so many years saying it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's debunked, it's fake news, it's Russian disinformation. And then yesterday, like flipping a switch, they go to, well, it's okay, it's none of it's illegal. But 24 hours ago, you were saying that it didn't even exist, that it was all fake. And now you're telling us that it was all above board. So both those things cannot be. And we're going to get into that during this show. We'll take a lot of your calls, 844-500-4242. Last year, when we offered the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vac, it sold out in no time flat. Here are some of the reasons why. Number one, and this is my favorite, it weighs only 6 pounds. I've had a lot of vacuums before where they're really heavy. They've got the giant cords. You get wrapped up in them. You got to bring them upstairs, bring them downstairs.
Trying to maneuver them around furniture, it's a nightmare.
And it almost like kills your motivation to ever pick up a vacuum. So you just leave it in the closet.
Which, let's face it, is kind of sparing to begin with.
Yeah.
You get the vibe, you want to have a good experience with it.
And then you leave it in the closet, Jared, and it takes up a lot of space in the closet. So every time you open your closet, you're like, oh, I should vacuum, but I don't want to. Well, the great thing about this is it weighs only 6 pounds, super light. You can carry it up the stairs. It's cordless. And it's bagless, which saves you time and money. Plus, it's very efficient. It has a mini brush attachment, which I love for the car and for the sofa. And I know this is a big thing with the listeners. It costs almost $200 less than comparable brands. Spring is almost here, and that's really exciting news, but that usually means spring cleaning too. Make your spring cleaning enjoyable. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioClean Clean Vac to sell out. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACECLEAN to save an additional $15. That's the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vac. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACECLEAN. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about this $6 million Southern California home that the Black Lives Matter Foundation or organization, whatever you want to call it, definitely not a nonprofit, that much we know. The huge mansion they bought, because big luxurious mansions matter. And we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Hunter Biden, because his Secret Service, we had mentioned yesterday that they had to, they're paying $30,000 a month to have the house next to Hunter in Malibu. And the Daily Mail has like a spread of the home. It is, Jared, I'm telling you, it is nice.
It looked nice.
It looks very nice. I mean, this is just, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And happy for them. Know that I am. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the poll question now. It is the time to spring into action and run for state office in Massachusetts. You need only 150 signatures to run for the state legislature. Visit massfiscal.org to learn more. Again, that website is massfiscal.org. Contact our friends at massfiscal.org to learn how to run for office. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you want an edit button on Twitter?
No. And the reason I don't is because I think, well, I guess it would still capture mistakes people make. But I think if you tweet something out, you should be editing it in your mind before you send it out. And that's why people say crazy things and kind of reveal how they truly feel. Is if they don't have that filter to say, should I really send out this tweet? And I kind of feel like you either got to delete it or you got to own it. So I'm going to say no.
42% of the audience says no. 58% say yes.
I mean, I wouldn't really care either way. I'm sure, yeah. I would adjust. But
I like the idea of not having to completely delete your tweet and start over if you have a typo or something like that. But again, it's something you can check before you tweet.
Do you delete the whole tweet if you have a typo?
Yeah, usually I do, yeah.
I know, I do too. Especially if it's like an embarrassing one, I just can't. I can't take the comments beneath.
Yeah, I mean, if I transpose like two letters, you know, whatever. But yeah, like the Grace Crowley show, I'd probably leave it. But
right, that's not important.
No, not at all.
When we come back on the other side, I think what I want to focus on, because we do have a lot today, and I want to get to this mom from New York City who got into a press conference with Mayor Eric Adams. And she was asking him about the masks on the toddlers, and he really didn't have a good response. And then she got fired from her job for speaking out and for asking him a very fair, very polite question and holding him to his own word. He gave his word as an Adams that he was going to get these masks off the kids. And after a weekend of partying with Cara Delevingne and other drunk celebrities, he reneges and he says, oh, no, I'm actually going to keep the masks on. There's no science involved here. So this mom was frustrated. She asked him about it, and then she loses her job. We're going to get to that. We're also going to play a lot of flashbacks of Joe Biden, because I am amazed that we've had a couple moments with him since the New York Times confirmed the Hunter laptop story 2 years later. He's been seen. He's been out and about, Jared. He's been walking back and forth from the helicopter. You know, and that crazy little walk he does, he walks like a penguin, you know, sliding on the ice. And he hasn't really gotten any questions. And you do have to wonder, I try to only play this game once or twice a week, but do you think if this story had been verified 2 years later about Donald Trump Jr., that some of the questions being shouted might pertain to the laptop? Do you think, well, first of all, it wouldn't have taken 2 years. We all know that. It would have been confirmed before it even hit the presses. But I feel like it would have been the subject of some controversy. But Biden just skates on by.
That would have been Ted Cruz dog level.
Yes. Bob Woodward's all around us. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Trip down memory lane when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I want to play a cut we played yesterday of Ron Klain because we actually did spend a fair amount of time on Ron. And now he's in the news. And for once, he's not just tweeting out the stories. These aren't high-class problems. These are Ron Klain problems. Jared, can we have... This is Ron Klain. He was talking to George Stephanopoulos over the weekend. And it's unfortunate for everyone in the Biden administration because now that Jen Psaki's on her way out, they've kind of got to pick up some of that weight. You know, they've got to do their part as far as playing Baghdad Bobs for Joe Biden. And not everyone is as talented as Jen. I don't even say that sarcastically. Like, I've had to watch almost every cut of Jen Psaki for the last year, and I could not do what she does. I feel like Daryl when he's telling Mike,
"Suck it to me, baby."
I feel like Daryl when he's telling Michael Scott, "I could never wake up every day and be you." I mean, it's just, it's impressive. She had to lie every day. She had to clean up every mess Joe Biden made. And now they have Ron Klain out there. I'm not saying he's going to be the new press secretary. Lord knows. In fact, I guess the front runners are Jean-Pierre Kirby and Bedingfield. So we'll keep you posted on that.
I mean, Jean-Pierre is the deputy. It just kind of is a natural progression.
I don't think anybody wants the job, though, Jared. That's the issue. And the thing about these jobs is the jobs in the White House are only as good as they can get you somewhere, which is why Jen Psaki is absolutely on the money to leave right now, because the Charlie Foxtrot is about to get a whole lot worse. And she's jumping ship to MSNBC, which is going to be a very easy transition for her. And she's probably going to make bank, and I don't blame her. But as far as taking that podium, that's not fun. Because it's one thing if you defend an administration that's controversial, if you defend a president who's controversial, like, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Sean Spicer, they all had to defend Trump. And I understand that that came with its own issues. The whole media hated you. He was tweeting all the time. It was a lot. But at least deep down, when it comes to the policies, when it comes to the principles, you believe it. With this, it's like, for you to believe that you guys are doing a good job, you'd have to be ready for an insane asylum. You would need to be locked away if you really thought that things were going well in this country right now. So I don't think anybody wants the job. And it's going to be like with JetBlue. There's going to be a staff shortage. You know, we can't have the press conference right now, everyone. We're waiting on a floater to come and take the stage. And we're offering a lot of money, but there's also a cap. You know, they can't offer, there's only a certain amount I think they can offer a press secretary. And if it were me, I'd be like, not enough. So let's play Ron Klain. He's talking to George Stephanopoulos about the president and the president's family. And this is cut 31.
The Washington Post also reported this week on deals that Hunter Biden had with a Chinese energy company, paid $4.8 million to entities controlled by Hunter and the president's brother. Is the president confident his family didn't cross any ethical lines?
George, the president is confident that his family did the right thing. But again, I want to just be really clear. These are actions by Hunter and his brother. They're private matters. They don't involve the president. And they certainly are something that no one at the White House is involved in.
Missed it by that much.
But it was just, I'm old enough to remember when this stuff was all debunked. And now you're telling us that this stuff not only is not debunked, but it's very real and it involves Hunter. I thought this was Russian disinformation. Which one is it?
So Ron Klain is a Russian asset.
This reminds me.
Let's put that out there.
Well, everyone's a Russian asset.
Like, you know,
when you really get down to it, everyone's a Russian asset. But this reminds me of renewable energy, and we're going to get into that, the whole green grift, because they kind of tried to pull the same thing. Like, they didn't want to pick a lane. So they said, we're going to be energy independent. We're shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. We're doing all these things. We're not going to rely on gas. You know, we're moving off oil, transition. They kept using that word, transition. And then the price of gas goes up. Everyone's complaining. You got the Let's Go Brandon stickers, the I Did That stickers on the gas pumps. And then they switch to, well, we're producing more gas than Trump ever did. And it's like, well, a few days ago, you were bragging how you guys were destroying the energy industry and you weren't going to, and we weren't going to be energy independent. It's because of all these great new ideas you have about electric vehicles. And then now today, because you got to switch up the narrative, it's, oh, no, we're producing a ton of this stuff. Which one is it? They always want to have their cake and eat it too. And so now Ron Klain is doing the same thing. He's like, oh, everything was above board. Well, what's everything? Because yesterday you told us that everything was fake, that everything didn't exist. Is there a there there? I would like to know. Let's play
guys.
Let's play cut 32.
Is the president confident Hunter Biden didn't break the law?
Of course the president's confident that his son didn't break the law.
Is he confident that you didn't break the law? Because we have your emails now. Care to comment on that? Let's get into Ron Klain's emails. I find this fascinating. Ron Klain solicited money from Hunter Biden for VP residence in 2012. Emails show keep this low, low key. The reason I think this is worth noting, well, one, it's a huge story. It's all over the news today. But two is there was like a lot of text messages from Hunter where he was very resentful of all of the work he was doing and all the money he was making for this family. And considering he had Ron Klain badgering him about raising money, I kind of don't blame him. You know, as far as like picking a side here, picking a contender, I'm leaning towards Hunter because as much as he is a mess, he was kind of the family bank account. And now all of these people are saying, oh, well, Hunter had nothing to do with Joe and Joe never was involved with business and Hunter's a private citizen. And they're kind of getting ready to push Hunter to the side. And I understand why Hunter's like, wait, I've been making all of the money. You know, like, you're not going to get rid of me that easy. I have all the secrets.
Yeah, Hunter definitely is in a lot of wrong and engaged in quite a bit of scumbaggery. But he also is being abused by his family. Those two things can coexist at the same time.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive. I agree. President Biden's White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, reached out to Hunter Biden in September of 2012 for help in raising $20,000 for the vice president's residence foundation. So many foundations. Did they have to buy a $6 million mansion for a YouTube video that got under 200 views? Just asking.
I'm sure that's the one in Malibu that I'm not, we're paying for.
Not trying to be an accountant here. You know, I'm not trying to badger you. I'm not the IRS. I'm just curious. There really are so many foundations.
Jeez, Ron Klain, stop badgering me for money.
You needed help in raising $20,000. And I'm not trying to sound, $20,000 is a lot of money, but leave Hunter alone. He's got an art career he's working on. He's making deals with Chinese businessmen. If I were Hunter, I would have emailed Ron Klain back and been like, dude, I'm making big time money here. I don't have time for this. 20 G's? Pull your weight. I'm making millions. I'm joining boards of companies that are worth billions of dollars. You can't raise $20,000 for my dad?
Ask the big guy to give you a loan out of his 10%.
Right.
Chump.
I just wired my dad enough money to cover that. Klain, who had left his chief of staff position in then Vice President Biden's office a year earlier, but was the foundation's chairman, of course, told Hunter that he needed to tackle a piece of unpleasant business and needed Hunter's help. Again, that's when I reply back, no. I'm not in the business of unpleasant business, Sir Ron Klain. Lose my number, as my nana used to say. So he says unpleasant business, and then he says, the tax lawyers, well, I'll just read the exact email. This is from Ron Klain. Hunter, hope you guys are doing well and that Naomi is off to a good start at college. It's such a change in the house when one leaves. This is like a typical telemarketer.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They throw
I hope this email finds you well.
It just get to the point. How much money do you need? You know, this is like, everyone knows this play. How are you? You know, when someone calls you from like a school that you went to, hey, how are you? Is it going? How's everything going? Good. Yeah. What are you up to? And then you're like, oh no, here it comes. And they go, well, I'm calling for the Alumni Foundation. And it's like, ugh.
Sorry, wrong number.
I knew we were getting to the money. Well, Ron Klain has that opening line. Hope everything's good with Naomi. Hey, now he gets to the meat of it. Hey, I have to tackle a piece of unpleasant business. The tax lawyers for the VP Residence Foundation have concluded that since the Cheney folks last raised money in 2007 and not 2008, we actually have to have some incoming funds before the end of this fiscal year to remain eligible to be a public charity. It's not much. We need to raise a total of $20,000, so I'm hitting up a few very close friends on a very confidential basis to write checks of $2,000 each. We need to keep this low key, Jared.
That totally means this is all above board.
Do you think in the hierarchy of keys, or I guess I should put it on the hierarchy of lows, is low key more low than on the down low? I'm a fan of on the down low.
Well, I would say low key is sub down low.
Okay. And what about the DL? Does it rank higher or lower than that?
I think low key is doubly low.
Got it. Okay. So he wants to keep it on the low key. Understood. And then he says, we need to keep this on the low key because raising money for the residents now is bad PR, but it has to be done. You want to talk bad PR? If I were Hunter, I'd write back, hey, try taking photos in a bathtub with a crack pipe. You guys have no idea the kind of bad PR you're about to see. You think this is bad PR? You just wait. I have some bad PR that's going to blow your mind, Ron. All right, so he says it's bad PR, but it has to be done. So I'm trying to just collect the 10 checks of $2,000, get it done in a week, and then we can do an event for the Residents Foundation after the election. Is this okay? Let me know. If so, send your check, payable to the Vice President's Residents Foundation, to VPRF. Thanks, Ron. Hunter then forwarded the email a few hours later to his longtime business partner, Eric Schwerin, who helped manage a majority of Hunter's finances. And then they tried to figure out, you know, where they could send it from, if they'd accept a check from some other place and clean. It's just a mess. It's very on brand.
I believe the word for that is fraud.
Do you think, Jared, that, you know, Ron Klain goes out with George Stephanopoulos, which I'm not saying that's like under oath. I mean, Lord knows you can lie on George's show because he'll cut it up for you. He'll splice it up in the editing room and make you look fine. But would you trust Ron's word as a Klain?
I only trust the words of a Biden.
Okay.
Not of the Klains.
Well, I love how he says keep it low key and he's writing it down in an email. Like I've known the Howie Carr rule about don't write it if you can say it. Don't say it if you can wink it. Don't wink it if you can nod it, or some version of that. Since I was like 12 years old, I knew that. And I didn't even know Howie, but my mom listened to a show, so I knew that rule. How do these people think they're going to email, keep this on the low key? You know, and it's never, I understand they're Democrats. I understand they think that they're above the law. I understand being a Democrat means never having to say you're sorry. But even so, it's just sloppy. It's just stupid.
You never say, hey, I know this is super illegal, so we can't talk about this, but I'm writing this down in an email.
Keep this on the low key. It's like red flag alert. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Is that me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering, when they talk to the press secretary and the a reporter asks a question about Hunter, and they answer, you know, he's not part of the president, why don't they ask a second question and say, well, if he's not part of the presidency, where did all the Secret Service come from when he threw the gun away?
Well, not just that. So that's a really good question, because that Secret Service, I believe that happened when Joe Biden was not in office. So that's a very good question. But also, why was he flying on Air Force Two with Joe Biden to China? That's what this National Review article tackles. It's like, okay, so what did Hunter think he was doing? Did he think he was sightseeing?
He really wanted to see the Great Wall.
He really did. He was passionate about it. And then he's like, Dad, I'll be back later, okay?
Gonna go line up cocaine on the Great Wall, Dad. See if I can do the whole thing.
Don't worry about me, Dad. I'll be back soon. And Joe's like, okay, good luck, son. It's just the lying now. They're losing their edge, the Bidens. You know, it's crumbling quickly. Last year, oh, Jared, I think we should probably go to break now. We'll come back with some more calls. Does that work? 844-500-4242. We will be right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
When people finally decide it's time to sell their real estate, what is their first step? Well, most people contact a real estate agent and traditionally list their property for sale. However, what most people don't realize is that in a traditional listing, you really have to sell the property twice. The first sale is to the buyer and the second sale is to that buyer's bank. If your property does not appraise at the offer price, then the deal could die or the price could lower. In addition, you may have stigmatized your property and lost valuable marketing time. In a JJ Manning auction, there are no bank appraisal concerns. All their buyers are cash ready, and their 10% deposit is non-refundable. At auction, your real estate is sold once, and the terms are unwavering. So why not sell at auction, where the bidding always goes up instead of listing and possibly negotiating down? To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Again, that's 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. All right, so we're talking a little bit here about Joe Biden and Hunter. And when we come back in the 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Ned Ryan from American Greatness about renewable energy. I think people will enjoy his latest piece. But let's get into this story in the National Review. What did Joe Biden know and when did he know it? And I like this first line. Surely he didn't believe that his son was going sightseeing when he hitched a ride to China on Air Force Two in 2013. I don't know. You know, Hunter is a cultured guy. He's a train guy, a locomotive expert, to be more specific. He's the smartest guy Joe Biden knows.
Cheese connoisseur.
He's a pipe artist. Blows the concentric circles of ink through the straws. So,
natural gas entrepreneur.
Businessman. Yeah, I know.
Doing business.
He's like the guy in when they do The Bachelor and someone's unemployed, so they just write entrepreneur. You know, he's everything. He's the talented Mr. Ripley. And so maybe he did say, Dad, listen, I'm inspired by some art in China. I want to go check it out. Sure, son. Hop on Air Force Two. But this is a really good part of it. It says, if President Donald Trump were caught up in a similar circumstances, he'd be hounded at every press conference and during every walk to Marine One with the question of what he knew and when he knew it. I haven't heard anyone asking this. At this rate, the press will develop a keen interest in the Joe Biden angle to the story, the most newsworthy and consequential angle, sometime in late 2023. I mentioned this, that they're doing the same thing they did with Bill Clinton, where it's the Hunter Biden scandal now. So it took them 2 years to get to it, and now they finally arrived, and we're supposed to give them a big round of applause. Oh, good job. You figured it out. And now they're going to call it the Hunter Biden scandal. And they're not going to acknowledge the fact that Hunter Biden's father at the time was vice president and now is president. So that could have some part in the scandal. The president has said that he's never spoken to Hunter about his overseas business dealings. Jared, can we play a flashback of, let's play cut 16.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader? If that's what happened, that appears what happened.
He also pulled the Obama excuse where it's like, I found out on the news, you know, I found out when everybody else did. That's an old Obama trick. Let's play cut 19.
And I didn't realize he was on the board till after he'd been on the board.
Huh. I wonder if that's going to hold up now that we have all of these authenticated emails. When we get back, we're talking to Ned Ryan. We have a lot more of these flashbacks for 1:30. Don't go anywhere. It's Tuesday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.